It is the glory of God to conceal a matter. To search it out is the glory of kings. This is the Message to Kings podcast.
Episode 316, The Parable of the Good Samaritan. Luke 10:25. Behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus said to him, What is written in the law? What is the reading of it? So he answered and said, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And he said, You have answered rightly. Do this, and you will live. But he, wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, And who is my neighbor? The context of the Good Samaritan is just a teaching session, and the city's unknown. And we have to realize that it was the lawyer who came up and asked Jesus this question. It's a lawyer. Think about it in that context. Here is a lawyer who wants to justify himself and look special in front of others. There's probably Pharisees. There's probably Sadducees around. There's probably all these religious leaders. And this lawyer probably reports to them, or he has maybe a political official he reports to that's in the audience as well. And he wants to look good. It's a bit of a show off. He's not here to talk to Jesus or to worship Jesus. He's here to justify himself and his skills, his ability, his ways of knowing the law. That he's a lawyer, which means he could know political, Roman, and even Jewish law, as well as the law of Moses. He's probably pretty astute in the law of Moses because, you know, he says, What can I do to inherit eternal life? And he answers correctly. He didn't get inundated in the do's and don'ts and the top 10 commandments. Instead, he went right down to love. He actually knew the greatest commandment was love, though he's not operating in love. He actually knew that this was the greatest commandment, which means it was quite well known at the time that this was the greatest commandment, which has been taught in the synagogues or in the people or in the streets, or even Jesus has been saying it himself. So this is a thing. Love is number one. But he's still trying to justify himself. So in the context of the law to a lawyer, Jesus answers the question. And just to kind of ruin the ending, but understanding the context, mercy triumphs over judgment, James 2:13. Mercy is love. Judgment is the law. You have a lawyer asking Jesus how to inherit eternal life. Jesus is answering, how do you answer? What does the law say? And the lawyer says, love. And Jesus tells a story about love and how mercy triumphs over judgment, which is the law. Luke 10:30. Then Jesus answered and said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among the thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a certain priest came down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise a Levite, when he arrived at the same place, seeing the hurting and almost dead man, came and looked and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. So he went to him, bandaged his wounds, poured on oil and wine, and set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. On the next day, when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said, Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I come again, I'll repay you. So which of these three do you think was the neighbor to him who fell among the thieves? And he said, He who showed mercy on him. Then Jesus said to him, Go and do likewise. So it seems like just that simplicity, right? The one who showed love, showed compassion, was the one who showed that he was the true neighbor, right? There's so much here. There's so much, of course, but in, you know, knowing Jesus put this together in this parable, there's layers upon layers of meaning. The neighbors, of course, the Samaritans, they were brought in by the Assyrians when they deported peoples from different areas. They come from far off lands. They brought their gods to Israel, part of a control mechanism of the Assyrian Empire. They would deport people as they took over certain areas, and then they would put them in different areas to convolute countries and empires for the purpose of control. Here we are. You have a whole group of people, the Samaritans, who've been in this area north of Judah for hundreds and hundreds of years. The old empire of northern Israel, I shouldn't really call it empire, but country of northern Israel, not Judah, but northern Israel, had been repopulated in many parts by this foreign groups of people who brought their gods mixed in with the Jewish gods, a Jewish God and their worship. And they were despised people. Most people, if they went from Galilee to Jerusalem, they would go around Samaria so they wouldn't have to mess with the Samaritans. And the Samaritans were this hated people. But here's the funny thing. And who is my neighbor? Well, your neighbor just north of Jerusalem, just north of Judah, is the Samaritans. And they're despised and they're hated. So you have this hated people group who Jesus uses as the example of compassion to show love, to show this is the type of guy that would inherit eternal life, the one who shows compassion and love. Then he compares him to the priest and the Levite who, in the context of the lawyer talks about the code of ethics, the code of laws of Moses, everything Jewish is in the priest and in the Levites. They do everything according to customs and rules and regulations, but what they didn't show was compassion. The priest, the epitome of holiness, who serve the holy God of Israel, who serve in the temple, they should be compassionate more than anyone else. The Levite, the line of Aaron, the line of Moses, these are the guys that should be showing the most sacrificial understanding of the love of God, but they're not. It was the lowly, nobody, despised Samaritan who showed compassion. Jesus loves to do this. He loves to point the finger at hypocrisy. He loves it. He absolutely loves it. Here you are. In another scene, you have the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and Jesus is rebuking them, and he said, the people of Nineveh and the queen of the south will rise up and judge this generation. That's the people who repented in Jonah's day. The queen of south would be Sheba, who would rise up and condemn this generation. He's speaking of foreigners, people who aren't the inheritors of the promise per se, aren't the ones who grew up with the law and the promises of God, and not that full understanding, but they're the ones who are in awe, and they're the ones who worship God despite their lack of background, like their traditional understanding. They're the ones that are going to be rising up and even judging the generation of those who had that understanding. And here's a Samaritan, despised, wicked. I wouldn't say they're wicked. This is not a wicked man, but they said they were wicked. They said they were wicked idol worshipers, these Samaritans. But that was just a judgment that the Pharisees would place on a people group, which was wrong, because Jesus pointed out, who is your neighbor? Perhaps the Levite didn't stop because he saw blood and it would make him impure, according to Leviticus 21. And perhaps the priest had something in his head. I'd be late for an appointment, and I have to minister someone at a temple and grab the sacrifices and the anointing oil and make it back in time. But he didn't have time for the one who was hurting the most. He who showed mercy on him is what Jesus said. Mercy triumphs over judgment, James 2:13. And the funny thing is, it's actually common sense. You read this, and even the lawyer said and answered correctly, it's absolute and common sense what Jesus is saying. Why would anyone not stop, right? Now we're not all perfect, and don't, you know, everyone should read this in the perspectives of your own heart, of where you are and what God's called you to do. But in every aspect, when someone's hurting around you, you need to care for them. That's your role. That's how you show compassion. Now, you know, if someone's needy and, you know, overwhelming you and you're neglecting other responsibilities, you know, like, pray it through, figure out what the Lord's called you to do. But the one hurting in the road right there is it, where that's the one you're supposed to have compassion on. If you neglect the need of someone around you for the sake of religious duty, then you're just like the priest and the priest and the Levite in the story. And that's what we need to make sure we never do. Often our neighbors are the ones hurting the most, and we spend so much time in our religious duties, we miss caring for those right in front of us. So, another thing that Good Samaritan did, I was pretty jaw-dropping, is the fact that he didn't just stop and care for the person. He actually, like, stopped, bandaged the wounds, gave him oil and wine, maybe even did CPR, the equivalent back then, you know, brought him to an inn, took care of him, the equivalent of a hospital, paid the innkeeper and paid someone to take care of this person. I mean, out of their own means, they took care of this neighbor. It's pretty remarkable. Pretty remarkable. I'm going to kind of end this episode, almost with just like some family stories. Don't take any of it in the wrong context as much as just these are little examples of life on the road and doing what you know is right. What I find interesting is some of these stories I'm going to share are little things that I did before I was a believer, and then some things after. But was this Good Samaritan a believer in God? It actually doesn't say it. And that's what's fascinating. The Good Samaritan was a righteous person, and the Good Samaritan had a good heart. And out of the heart of compassion, good works come. I was talking to a friend the other day, and he said he's just hasn't been walking correctly, and he's been doing bad things. He didn't tell me what those were, just not been doing good things. And he goes, I really have repented to God. I just need to get back with him. I need to do good things to get back in his good graces. And I'm like, you don't have to do that. You've repented and you don't live in shame anymore. Romans 8:1, therefore now there is no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. When you sin and you repent, it's over. Don't live in the past and dwelling upon the shame of your failures of the past. You surrender it. You give it to God. It's over. Romans 8:1. There is no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. Turn around, repent, surrender your life, give it back to him, and let him put you back on the path. And the natural good works, like the Good Samaritan works, are the ones that are going to occur because you're now walking closer to God. You don't do the good things to earn God's grace. You do the good things out of an overflow of your heart. And he said, thank you. I had forgotten such basic truths because I've walked away. Thank you for that. And that's what I find interesting is when people do slip and they fall, sometimes I do forget the basics, the things that were so concrete before, because if we do sin, sin is a blinding force, and it causes us to forget things that are so basic. We need to get back on track. So back to some of the personal stories. So kind of interesting. I'll tell three stories. Back when I was in high school, growing up in Little Rock, Arkansas, I drive to school and back, and whenever this was just some goofy little thing I did, and I don't know why I did it. I just started doing it. And I would drive to school or maybe work later. And if I ever saw a rock or an obstacle in the road and there was no one around, or if it was safe enough to get it, I would pull over and move it out of the road. No big deal. It's just something I did. And I'd do it and not really tell people, because it could really damage a car if you hit some rock or some stump or just some crazy object in the road. And I did it for years. And it was just something I did. I wasn't a believer, and it was just something I did. And minor story, but fast forward ahead, I'm in college, University of Arkansas, not a believer, maybe, not really though. But and I'm driving to college, and I'm actually driving back, and I see this car on fire. It's this red truck. And I'm like, what? And I pull over, and I'm like, it's this guy, and he's reaching in his car, and it's on fire. It's the craziest thing. I'm like, dude, get out of your car. And he goes, my wallet's in there. And I help him get his wallet, and I'm like, get out. And he wants to get back in his car to get something else. I'm like, get out. It's going to blow. Well, yeah, I'd obviously watched too many action movies. Cars, that car doesn't blow up because it has a there was no fuel leak or anything, but it was still on fire, and we got him away from his car until the police showed up, even though he kept wanting to go back in it for whatever reason. And I would hold him by force away from his car so he wouldn't get back in there. And the police came, fire department and everything. And I was like, man, I'm sorry about your car. We'll get you a ride home. You know, clearly overheated of some kind, and I'm glad you're okay. You know, it's, I didn't even pray for him because I didn't know better, right? But I did. I did a good thing. I helped this guy who knows if he would have gotten burned if he kept trying to get his backpack out or whatever it was. So I go roll into college the next couple of days later. He goes, Brett, were you helping some guy out of a burning car on the highway? And I was like, yeah, that was me. And it's funny how sometimes the good deeds sometimes just don't go unnoticed. And I gained a reputation, even though I wasn't a believer, of doing the right thing because of that story. Fast forward years and years later, I'm a believer, and I'm on the way to church in Seattle, Washington, and we're on the highway. It was the weirdest morning, and I felt like it was strange because there was no one on the road in Bellevue, Washington. And we just pull up, and we keep driving on the highway, and out of nowhere, there's a flipped car right in front of us, smashed against the rails. And we pull over, and this guy he's like, had a concussion. The car's upside down. It's right out of an action movie. And I'm like, you all right, buddy? I was like, oh, okay. You know, like I would call my wife. And I don't want to get him out of the seat because I don't know if he broke his back or what. And I'm just there praying. We're the first responders. And we're praying for him. I'm helping him out. He gets his phone out. He tells his wife he's in an accident. He's okay. We pray, we minister to him, pray for his healing, that all works out fine, and the fire trucks and ambulances show up soon after. Then we make it to church, and we're late, and a friend's like, where were you? You're really late. And he goes, you wouldn't believe the story if I told you. No, but we end up telling him, you know, like, you wouldn't believe it. This car was flipped over upside down right in front of us in the highway, and we just drove up, and it was upside down, and we ministered to the guy, and they're like, wow, okay. more than they expected to hear that morning. Those are just stories where, honestly, it was just what we did. It's just what you do. If an accident's in front of you, beside you, before you, or someone's hurting, care for them. Just care for them. And as you get to know people, everyone's got a story. I got a friend who is a firefighter in Charlotte, and all I have to do is just ask, and he's always got a story of someone they helped out, CPR, or maybe it was a drug abuse, someone OD'd, or there was a fire they put out. I mean, God is using people all the time. And this is just a few stories of our life, but let God use you. Be the Good Samaritan and do what you know is right. That's right before you. Thanks for joining us for this episode of Message to Kings. Feel free to check out the website, messagetokings.com, or if you want to chat, email us at messagetokings@gmail.com.